Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, aka Ketch, from BBC Match of the Day magazine, the sole representative flying the flag high tonight for the Newcastle boys and girls. And what an hour we are going to have, because you may think, oh, not more Magpie talk. 1 win in 9, where is the light going to come from? What will be the catalyst to galvanise the side in the final third of the season? Well, the inquest starts here. We're going to be talking about the Palace game, and delighted to say, a 7:15, you won't want to miss this. Luke Edwards from the Daily Telegraph will be joining us to have his say on Newcastle so far this season. And of course, we'll be looking at the game on the weekend. Dan Black from the Burnley Express will be joining us to talk about that game and also the game that matters, the fifth round of the FA Cup. Ketch was like, what game there? But yes, Ketch, Newcastle are in the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time since 2006, and we will be talking all about that one. As can you tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Well, Ketch, it was another game in the capital, and it was another result, not like the Tottenham one, this time where Newcastle losing again. We spoke last week about how many defeats they have had in the Premier League competition when coming to London, and this one, the 19th versus the 20th in terms of league goals scored this year, turned out to be that way, 1-0. What did you make of it?
Ugly. Ugly.
I mean, rugged.
When you see Newcastle v Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, it does have last on match of the day written all over it. I don't actually think it was last. I think it might have been second last.
I can't remember now, yeah.
But from a Newcastle point of view, this is the Newcastle fan show, it was really bad. I don't know where the next goal's coming from, never mind the next win. The front three, as much as we like them for their individually, they're playing, there's no cohesion at all, and when the ball does get up to them, it doesn't stick, and the players behind them, the midfield and defence, are miles away. The system we're playing needs to change. I think it's time for something to change. I've got a team in my head, maybe I'll reveal it later in the show, that I'd like to see. I think it's
hello,
because it's not working at the minute. I don't know what Bruce is doing on the pitch and in terms of tactics, but whatever he's doing, it needs to change, because we haven't won in ages now, and I'm at the point now where we're feeling really sorry for Joe Linton. We're not creating any chances. I think we had 2 shots on goal. We had 17 touches as a team in the opposition penalty area. So how can we, you know, criticise Joe Linton? I don't really think he's getting chances to score, basically. I've spoken on the show before about XG. I quite like XG.
Should do more XG.
Well, I've got a load of it. If you want a bit of XG, we can do XG. But Joe Linton's XG, he according to the quality of chances he's had this season, he should have 3 Premier League goals. He's got 1. So he's not a million miles away from where he should be in terms of the chances he's getting. He's not getting the chances. Admittedly, he doesn't look like he has the hunger. I look at someone like Tammy Abraham's, his desire to get in the box and score goals. When he misses chances, it's the end of the world. Joe Linton doesn't seem to have that hunger. He's not pushing forward. He's not getting, you know, attacking defenders, attacking the ball, getting into the 6-yard box as much as I'd like to see him do it. But I'm starting to feel really sorry for him, and I do think there's something there. But maybe it's time to make a change, and maybe it's time for Dwight Gayle to come in.
Yeah, I'm glad you've brought up Joe Linton, because it feels like in certain quarters, certain sections, he's almost being written off, Ketch. People going, oh, he wasn't worth the money, you know, but he's not a number nine. He hasn't produced the goods. When are we going to see him? Should he even be dropped? But has he got the service? Is he playing in a team that, if we're talking XG, he hasn't had many expected goals? Really a big debate, and we want to hear from you tonight, but I think it's one we will have after the Palace review. On that Palace review, we know Newcastle before the game, 1-8. We were looking, maybe this was a good chance on the weekend, because Palace, no win of 2020. They did get their first win. Similar to Newcastle, it was a defender that got their goal, like it has been for Newcastle. Dubravka making a whole host of saves, and he is the Premier League's top shot stopper at the minute by quite a considerable distance. Where is the creativity for you, Ketch? I know you've got a team, but were you surprised that you didn't see a little bit more on the weekend?
Well, the creativity normally comes through players like Almiron and Saint-Maximin. But as I said at the start, they're getting the ball. They're isolated. They can't hold it up. They need to be getting the ball in over the back of defences. They need to be running at defences, not getting the ball to their feet, back to goal, surrounded by defenders with no support from the midfield. It's funny when you're losing, all of a sudden players who are out of the team become flavour of the month. So all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, Shelby, we need Shelby back in because we're losing, and he's a creative player. Yeah. So it's interesting that players who are in the firing line, like Sean Longstaff, who isn't playing well, he's giving the ball away a lot, he's very casual with the ball, he's getting a lot of criticism, and Shelby's all of a sudden flavour of the month. The tempo is so pedestrian, it's unbelievable how slow we are moving the ball. And I think Bruce has got a bit of a problem, because we've made three loan signings. Danny Rose, left wing back, right wing back, Valentino Lazaro from Inter Milan, Austrian.
He was sent off on the weekend.
Yeah, sent off, and Bentaleb. So that's three quite decent players, high calibre players, I would say. But they're coming in with zero match fitness. And I think they've been told by their agents and them as players, look, come and you'll play. So I think Bruce is obliged to play them. There's three players who are massively unfit. Danny Rose looks overweight. Bentaleb is completely anonymous.
I did want to say, I called this on a Newcastle fan show. I questioned this Danny Rose signing, and everyone went, "Nah, it's a move up north. He's going to be brilliant. He's coming back home." He's not fit. He's not the player that he once was 4 seasons ago.
Well, he definitely looks to me overweight, but I wanted to see Danny Rose come in and grab the opportunity by the scruff of the neck and go, right, I'm going to prove that
for
that
you,
was
has
wrong.
He?
Well, he's had, what, two and a half games? He's come in. And, you know, come, Danny, and come up to the north where the chip shops are, and, you know, all those sound bites that he came
maybe
out with.
Maybe he did enjoy the chip shops more, Danny.
Yeah, it looks like it. But it's like, you know, I'm from the north, Doncaster, I'm sick of London, was kind of some of the sound bites that were coming out of him, alluded to that fact. And he was saying really good things, like, I've lived in Newcastle when he was at Sunderland. He lived on the Newcastle quayside. He said there's only a couple of clubs that I would want to play for. Newcastle's one of them, saying all the right things. But then come in, and I'm not sure about the body language and the desire to really, you know, can you be a leader and an experienced player in this team and kick up other players up the backside, get us back into form and play yourself back into the Euro squad? I'm not seeing that.
Well, maybe what it seems to me is a little bit similar. You mentioned the three players, you know, the ones you've signed on loan, saying, oh, they're definitely going to play, you know, obliged to play them. A little bit like Danny Rose. He just wants the game time as well, and he's not really going to try. Do you know what I mean? How much effort are they going to be? Because they just know they're going to play, and with that, there's no competition, is there?
Well, there is competition, because if you're going to play Danny Rose, that probably means Matt Ritchie loses out. If you're going to play Bentaleb, that probably means Isaac Hayden's going to miss out. They are two of the biggest scrappers in our squad, in the league. If results aren't going for you, if you're going to get dragged back into a relegation battle, you need Matt Ritchie on the pitch, you need Isaac Hayden on the pitch. But they're missing out because I think Bruce is obliged to play the high-profile loan signings that he's brought in.
Yeah, it's just such a tricky one. And just obviously on the Newcastle game on the weekend, earlier on in the season, Ketch, we said that, you know, Newcastle, maybe surprisingly, we're having a little bit of luck getting results in certain places without scoring goals. Is there a worry for you now that maybe they've used up all their luck, because now in games that where they were getting results, they're not getting them currently?
Big time, big time. The season's catching up with us massively. Mm. We absolutely have rolled our luck. We've played really badly and got wins. We played absolutely terrible at Everton. Somehow got these two injury time goals.
My result of the season so far.
It's difficult to explain how bad we were in that game. And then Chelsea at home, dreadful. Chelsea battered us, and we've got to win, and it distracts from the bigger picture, which is how bad the football is. We're hanging on in games and then nicking goals and nicking points, and it's completely unsustainable. The front three, our big front three, you know, Almiron, Joe Linton, Saint-Maximin, they aren't scoring. They're barely assisting. Shelby's got a few goals, Matty Longstaff's got a few goals, and then the defenders have scored all the rest of the goals. It really looked bad.
Well, not only were those victories maybe distracting to how poor the side were, but we were hearing things and saying things on this show. This is the best points tally, you know, better at this stage last season when Rafa was there, and that also takes away from the performance. I suppose the big question on everyone's lips then for Newcastle at the minute, even Gary Neville talking the last couple of days, are Newcastle then maybe not looking up? They are still looking down, and they are still in danger of being pulled into this relegation fight, Ketch.
Massively. We're not safe at all. Like I said at the start of the show, I don't know where the next goal is coming from. Never mind the next points, and we need to get some points going soon, because with relegation battles, how many times someone always gets out? So look at that bottom three there. You look, you think Norwich are done, you think West Ham are done. Someone always gets out at the expense of a team, obviously, above them in the league. The only positive is we got six games coming up, and amongst those, we've beaten four out of the six teams already in the league. So the wins are there. There's a couple at home. It's a crucial period for the club.
Yeah, massive. Obviously, the 7-point cushion that they have at the minute. What do you make of, obviously, the red card on the weekend, Lazaro, then? Because Steve Bruce said, at that point in the game, it should have been a yellow card. But I never understood that argument when people go, it was a foul, but he's not a dirty player. There's no intent. Yeah, but it's still a foul.
Yeah, I mean, well, Bruce has come up with some crazy things all season. And to suggest, oh, let us off with that one, lads, because it was the last minute. It's just not, you know what I mean? It's a farcical comment from him, really, and not the first that he's made this season. Lazaro actually had a half-decent game and kept Zaha relatively quiet. That's one of the most difficult opponents you can face as a fullback, as a wingback, is Zaha. And Zaha was kept relatively quiet. Lazaro also had a first half at Arsenal, which was very impressive, and then he faded a bit. But Lazaro...
Match fitness.
Yeah, I think long-term, he could be, you know, the best of the three that we've brought in. I can see him suit this, the Premier League suiting him, and I think, you know, if we were to make any of the loan signings permanent, I know there's an option with Bentaleb and Lazaro. I'd probably like to see more of Lazaro. I've enjoyed what I've seen, and yeah, you know, Zaha's gone in one-on-one, done him, and he's hands around the world. It is a red card, and it's really sad because we're going to lose him now for a couple of games when we're really tight at right back.
Well, there must be a player in there. Let's not forget Inter Milan signed him for decent money as well. So there is the talent and ability there. Hopefully we'll start to see that with Lazaro for Newcastle. Newcastle have failed to score in three consecutive Premier League games. Ketch, it's already something you've touched upon. You don't know where the next chance is coming, the next goal is coming, let alone a point and a win. On that stat, and people will talk about Joe Linton, do you think he should be dropped? But he's not getting the service. So where do you see any changes, if they are coming? Where could you see that happening?
So I think at this stage, it's more of a gamble to keep playing the way we are. That's going to be more detrimental to our season. We will get dragged into relegation.
But Steve Bruce said they're already playing limited. He can only do with the players. He said something like that, didn't he, last week?
Well, that's personnel, but I'm talking about system now. So I think it's time for Gale, to be honest, and I think it's time for a system change. And I think the noises Bruce made after Crystal Palace suggested that he's going to go with a system change. And personally, I think you should go four at the back. I think you should go 4-2-3-1. I would have... I'll just do the team.
Yeah, go
I think
for it. Yeah, I love it.
Yedlin, we need Yedlin to come in at right back because Lazaro's suspended. Then I would... The centre-halves, we've only played with four at the back once this season. We lost 5-0 to Leicester, but that was Leicester. We got Burnley on Saturday at home, so...
I've got some great stats up on this game.
Okay, great. I would go four at the back at home to Burnley. I mean, come on. And then I think if Kieran Clark was fit, he would like to play Kieran Clark alongside Lascelles. Kieran Clark isn't fit, so I would go with Fernandez and Lascelles. There's not a great deal of pace there, but there's organisation, positional awareness. And then at left back, I would go with Rose. Then the two in front, a bit of protection for the back four, I would keep with Sean Longstaff, but I would bring Hayden back in. Hayden's excellent. We're better with Hayden in the team. And I think he's been very unlucky to have been dropped for Bentaleb. Bentaleb has done nothing. He's sitting so deep, he's basically playing in the back three. So let's go two at the back, but let's protect them with Longstaff and Hayden. And then I would go for a three in front of them. Almiron on the left, Joe Linton on the right, and then Saint-Maximin in at number 10. which is quite
lively. You're getting excited telling me, which I quite like it, yeah.
But St. Maximin, he said something interesting earlier in the season that he would like to play through the middle because he doesn't like being restricted by the touchline. So he's playing on the left or the right, then obviously he can only come inside. So I think let's have a go with him at number 10, and then I would put Gale up front, who it would come in with no match finish, but he is a striker and he is much more of a natural finisher than Joe Linton.
Well, that is Ketchy's solution to Newcastle's problems in a minute. That is the lineup that he would go with. But do you agree? Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. A man who will know more about the lineups and Newcastle, it is the brilliant Luke Edwards from the Daily Telegraph, and he joins us next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle United Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, aka Ketch, from BBC Match of the Day magazine, just talking about that disappointing defeat at Selhurst Park. Newcastle not travelling well when they travel down to London. Most defeats in the Premier League competition. Delighted to say someone who knows a ton more about the Magpies. It is brilliant Luke Edwards from the Daily Telegraph. Luke, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a real pleasure to have you on. Someone we've been trying to get on for a while now. Always enjoy what you have to say, Luke, going across your timeline on social media. But I wanted to ask, Luke, for you, have you ever known a more unwatchable Newcastle United than this season?
Yes, probably. I mean, it's pretty unwatchable under Steve McLaren. There were times, actually, under Rafa when it was pretty awful. But I think over a sustained period, I'm just trying to think, stretch my mind back, actually. I think the Graham Souness years were pretty grim towards the end as well. But no, over a sustained period of time, I think it has been a hard watch. It's kind of fine playing that way, you know, this sort of, you know, soak up pressure and hit on the counter-attack when you're winning games. But you sort of excuse it, don't you? But as soon as the results dry up, it's pretty turgid stuff. And, you know, in mitigation, I think, you know, the team was have been set up to play a certain way for a long, long time, which is would be hard to beat. The problem is they haven't got any goals in the team, and they've got a front line which I think scored 4 goals between them this season in the Premier League. So it's just, you know, it's not good enough. They don't have an attacking threat, and I think something's probably going to have to change style-wise. My kind of defence of it all is all they've got to do really is stay up this season. I think everybody knew it would be a relegation battle in August. I certainly thought when Rafa Benitez quit that there was a definite chance they could go down. So I think style of football and all that sort of stuff kind of waits until the summer. I think if Steve Bruce can keep them up, then, you know, he deserves to have a crack at that in terms of changing the style. But if you can't change the style and the football is this bad again next season, then, you know, I will be joining those who say it's just simply not good enough, and, you know, he may well have to go.
Luke, it's Ketch here.
Hello.
How are you doing there? I described you recently to someone as the Piers Morgan of Newcastle football writers, because your opinions are often controversial. You like an argument and you seem to get fans talking, reading your stuff. Whether they agree with you or not is another matter. Is it part of your remit at the Telegraph to spark debate amongst Newcastle fans and get them agreeing and disagreeing with what you say?
It's not deliberate, you know, there's not a calculation there. It's just, I think I wrote this week, I think basically what happened, I was pretty popular among Newcastle fans and had been for a while and sort of seen as a bit of an anti-Mike Ashley champion. But then in the summer, I did the sort of two things that, you know, you weren't expected to do, really, which was I criticised Rafa's decision to leave. I thought, you know, I told the sort of two sides for every story, and I didn't think he'd behaved perhaps as he should have done, and his refusal to compromise, you know, needed to be questioned, as did the reasons for going to China and a £12 million a year contract. On top of that, so I got a lot of abuse for that. And then, you know, when Steve Bruce got the job, I think everybody knew I was quite close to him. But I have a golden rule with all managers, actually, and I tried to explain this in the summer. You don't judge a manager until they've had a chance to show what you do. I took that same attitude with Joe Kinnear. I took it with Chris Hughton. I took it with Alan Pardew, you know, Steve McLaren. John Carver, you can't condemn somebody before they've actually had a chance to show what they can do. And I've had that rule all the way through. And I said, you know, Steve Bruce might not be the disaster everybody thought he was. I think he's probably a better manager. I think he's a better manager than a lot of people do. But most importantly, I thought he deserved a chance. That combined with my Rafa Benitez stance made me a sort of a target, really. And me being me, if people are going to abuse me, and it is a bit of a cesspit Twitter at times, and if I do get a lot of abuse. Most of it isn't particularly personal, but there's a lot pouring in. So, when Newcastle lost, I would get streams and streams of text messages. So when they won, I tended to go the other way, and it's just me, really. If people are going to have a pop at me, then I'll have a pop back. And the more I sort of wound people up, I do find it quite funny. I mean, people get, I think that upsets people even more, actually, is that when people get really angry and really abusive, I just find it funny. And I keep saying to people, look, you don't get into my job to be popular as such, and that's not me. I just fight fire with fire sometimes. I'm probably going to quieten down a little bit, I think. I don't think it's particularly helpful, and I've actually refused a lot of, everybody wants me on the podcast, everybody wants me to go on. I just actually said to somebody, look, I'm not Steve Bruce's spokesperson. I just, defended what he's done as manager. So it's now up to him. They're in a bad spell. It's just me. It's not deliberate or calculating. It's just sometimes when I'm sat there and I'm bored, I tend to enjoy arguing with people on Twitter. It's just if you live with me, you'd probably find me a nightmare, and my poor wife probably gets on the receiving end of it sometimes as well.
I think your piece at the weekend is a classic example of that as well. And in it, I just wanted to ask you about one thing in there that it was regards Rafa. Actually, you mentioned Rafa there, but in the piece, you seem to intimate that Benitez left Newcastle in the lurch in the summer by waiting for Mike Ashley to improve.
Yeah.
I personally believe Rafa was desperate to stay, but he was offered the same money. He would have been tied to an unambitious club for 3 more years. He was told he'd have less control over transfers. I don't think that's a compromise. I think that's Rafa maintaining dignity. That's a legend of the game, a legendary manager being told he's refusing to be told how to suck eggs by a sport shop owner.
Great, great manager, but you have to look at Rafa's track record, and he's fallen out pretty much with everyone above him everywhere he goes. He played a brilliant hand. He was pushing against an open door with the media, with the press, against Mike Ashley. Now, my gripe with it was, I think he came up and cleaned his desk in June. I think he said in the Times interview that he did, that he knew he wasn't going to get a serious offer. He refused to negotiate for the last 2 weeks. I know that for a fact. He refused to meet them. So if he was going, why couldn't he say he was going earlier? There was, even if it was just 3 or 4 weeks earlier, he could have said he was going, but he didn't. He dragged it out and he dragged it out and he dragged it out. And I think he did leave them a bit in the lurch. And I also thought there were reasons for him to say, look, Mike Ashley is a nightmare, and I've criticised him more than anyone. I've been banned by him twice for a start. But look, he's a bad owner. He's a terrible owner. But I just thought, Rafa, when you know what Rafa wanted in the summer in terms of transfer targets, when you're trying to sign, 4 or 5 players over the age of 28, all on wages, well over 100,000, some of them topping £150,000, and you're not willing to compromise and say, well, you might be able to have one of those, but, we can't afford to sign all of them. If you're not willing to compromise at all in any of those conversations, I think you have to question whether he did want to stay. And he had this £12 million offer from China. That was signed, I think, the day after his contract expired. So he knew he was going, and these China rumours had been around for ages. Now, Rafa had actually said to us off the record that, nobody goes to China. There's only one reason why you go to China. So, look, he knew what he was going. I can understand why he'd had enough. I can, and I wanted him to stay, and I thought he would stay. He told the club he did want to stay in March or April. But I just think the way it played out at the end, I don't know, just left a bit of taste in my mouth. And I think there were the foundations with a bit of compromise. And I think this is where my frustration comes from. With a bit of compromise, he would have had the biggest transfer budget he'd ever had this summer. And he could have really kicked on as Newcastle manager. I just don't think he fancied anymore. Well, he probably had enough of Mike Ashley.
Ashley can change his mind at the drop of a hat. So he was right to hang on, I think, and give him a chance.
But if you're going to sign a one-year contract, would you sign 4 players and over £150,000 a week? If your manager, is going to sign a one-year contract, would you sign all of these players on 4 or 5-year contracts?
If Rafa Benitez is endorsing them, I would, to be honest with you.
He knew he'd been in for the Leicester job. They knew he'd been in for the West Ham job. And he wanted to sign a one-year extension. So it's just very, very difficult. There are two sides to every story to say. Would I like Rafa to stay? Yes. I would have absolutely loved him to stay. Would there be in a better position if he had stayed? Yes. But I don't think he covered himself in glory in the way it all ended either. And that's just my point of view, yeah, and that's what I've argued, and people don't want to hear that.
Yeah, let's talk about the current manager. I mean, I look at Steve Bruce, and I worry that he's an old school manager being overtaken by the modern game. What do you think Bruce is asking the team to do right now? What's the game plan? Because I'm struggling to see one.
I think they've lost direction. I almost think that break came at a really bad time for them, actually, and they haven't been playing well for weeks. I think they had this method that they could soak up pressure and then grab a goal from somewhere. And I think they just maybe got a little bit complacent. They took their eye off the ball. I don't quite know what has happened, but the team has got worse. And I also think this transfer business they've done in January, he's tried to bring in Bentaleb, a player who can play under pressure. He's tried to bring in Lazaro to you know, produce crosses. And he's tried to bring Danny Rose in because Jetro Williams ended his season with injury. He was actually doing really well. But I just wonder whether it's upset the dressing room balance a little bit. I think teams have worked out how to stop them playing on the counter-attack. And I just think also that missing ingredient, results haven't been good. Even when they were winning games, they've been battered pretty much for a few weeks. You know, the performances have been criticised. The players have been criticised. The manager's been criticised. They've been pretty much criticised all season by everybody, really. There's not been a lot of praise coming. And I just think it's all caught up with them. They've lost confidence. And I think Steve Bruce needs to change it, because whatever he's doing on the training pitch at the moment, and most of it, Steve Agnew and Stephen Clements are the coaching staff, it's not working. So he does need to change it. I think they're caught between this rock and a hard place of carrying on in this defensive, trying to soak up pressure, make themselves hard to beat, and just grind out the victories they need to stay up. But it's so bad at the minute. Something does need to change. And I think that is a challenge for him. And it's up to him now. I can't tell you how well he's going to do, but he does have to change something. Results aren't good enough. Performances aren't good enough. That's what a manager's paid to do. It's not up to me to defend him. It's up to him to prove that he can do it. And that's what he's got to do. If he can't prove to do it, if he can't prove that he can change it and make things more attractive, then yeah, I'd agree with you. He would deserve to be replaced.
Luke, just finally then, what can Newcastle fans expect from their team for the final third of the season?
I would like to say, I mean, I think the sooner they get these points, I mean, they've got a really interesting run at the moment. So they've got Burnley at home, Southampton away, Sheffield United at home. And then I think they've got some fairly other games against teams in the bottom half of the table. I think they've got Aston Villa at home, haven't they, coming up? They need to get some wins. And I think that the big thing for them, if they can beat West Brom away in the FA Cup, I think that's huge. I think if you can get into a quarterfinal of the FA Cup, I think that changes the complexion of the season. It hasn't then just been this grim battle for survival. They've actually had a FA Cup run. Forget how they get there. Forget how they beat two League One teams. I think they had a pretty easy run to the semi-final in 98 or 99. I can't quite remember when it was. But look, they need to do something different. And I think they need to get these wins quickly. If this bad run continues, I will start to worry, because I think they could be dragged into this relegation battle. Mm. And I think they have to find a way to become more dangerous going forward. And you know, and then I don't know what they do with Joelinton. They need to have a game or Carroll to be fit effectively, but it is a big concern. But if they can get two wins out of the next four, they're pretty much safe.
Yeah, big questions are being asked. Luke, we really appreciate you coming on tonight. I know you're someone who's extremely busy. Thank you for giving us the time. Luke Edwards there of the Daily Telegraph. Really good to get him on. Like I said, we've been trying for the past few weeks. Always interesting to hear what Luke Edwards has to say. Never one to shy away from his opinion, but he did mention that game against West Brom in the FA Cup and how vital that will be in Newcastle's season. And me and Ketch will be previewing that next.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle United Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, a.k.a. Ketch, from BBC Match of the Day magazine. We just heard from the brilliant Luke Edwards there from the Daily Telegraph. As I said, Luke is never one to pull his punches. If he says it, he will say it, and he means it. Ketch asking him, is that his remit? Is he there to stoke that fire a little bit between the Newcastle fans? Obviously, been in Newcastle since 1996. Has seen quite a lot in his time when it comes to the Magpies. We were also talking about that game against the Eagles on the weekend. Wasn't to be. Can the game with Burnley maybe be the one where they turn around their fortunes? Dan Black will be joining us in about 10 minutes' time. But before that, it is maybe the bigger game of the season, Ketch, because it is West Brom. It is the fifth round of the FA Cup. This one is huge. They haven't reached that round since 2006, but they now have a chance after, if they progress, to get to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, for the fans, this is the biggest game of the season. They're taking 5,500 fans down I'm going to go.
Get in. Come on.
Absolutely. First thing I did was arrangement the train and the tickets. It was quite difficult to get tickets because we've never gone this deep in the competition in, you know, however many years, 15 years, and it's a winnable game in theory. West Brom are a championship club, probably. Obviously, they're used to winning more this season because they're at the top of the championship. We're not on the greatest of form. I think their priority is promotion. So I'm wondering if they're going to play a weakened team. So that's our opportunity there, I think.
Well, luckily, I can't help the team in any way, Ketch, but doing the fan shows, obviously, I get to know what fans think of their club. Doing the West Brom fan show, they're up for the game, of course, and, you know, it's a great chance for them as well. But all of the fans want promotion. They want the squad rotated for the game in the week. They don't care if it's not their first team. They want to put up a good fight, but it's not their priority. For them, the be-all and end-all is getting back in that Premier League. Do you think that plays into Newcastle hands, or that's an added pressure? Do you want to hear that, or you think, I'm not so sure?
No, yeah, I definitely want them to play a weakened team because I think that gives us advantage. I also think there might be tweaks to our team, which I do not agree with, but I do think things like, I think Dubravka will be rested and Carl Darlow will come in.
But Steve Bruce said he takes this cup seriously. Do you think we'll see a full flurry of changes? Because he spoke about it in the past, reaching the final. He said, I would never, ever do that. I know what this means.
Not a full flurry, as you say. I think Darlow for Dubravka is one. And then if a player is borderline with fatigue and injury, then he probably will be dropped. We've actually got a bit of depth in the squad now that we've got the three lone lads in. So you look at the bench now, it's probably never looked stronger with the likes of Hayden and Richie. I think they should play in this game. I think they get it, and I think they're the ones who can go to West Brom midweek and feed off the energy from behind the goal, because it makes a difference when you've got 25% of the stadium Newcastle fans against West Brom. They might not even sell out West Brom if they're more focused on promotion. So the fans are absolutely up for it. I just hope that transmits into the players and they get it and they realise how important this is to us.
Well, West Brom, obviously leading the league in the Championship, but their home form of late hasn't been the greatest. 2 wins in 7. Does that give you any confidence? And with them changing their side, that, yeah, they play football, but really, you know, this is there for us. This is a great opportunity now.
It should give us confidence, but it doesn't, because we took a replay to get through Rochdale. We took a replay in extra time to get through Oxford. They're League One teams. This is a high-flying Championship team who are playing with a system, who are playing with confidence, who have momentum.
Premier League manager in Bilic.
So yeah, exactly. So and who's a, you know, he's quite a dogged manager. He'll be able to motivate the players.
They knocked out West Ham in the last round, Premier League opposition, with a weaker team.
I'm not confident at all. Newcastle should be favourites with the bookies. I don't think we are favourites at all. I think we go into this game as underdogs, and that's even if we play our weakened team.
Ketch, because we talk about a team that we're not sure where the next chance is coming from, we're not sure where the next goal is coming from, that win, you know, or that next point, but we are talking about a team that could progress to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. And when we talk about that, on balance, this season and last season, if this Newcastle side do reach that, what are we talking about in terms of this season? Because for you, every week you go, I don't know how to describe this one. It's a bit difficult. It's a bit strange.
Well, we've sleptwalked to this stage of the FA Cup. We haven't played well at all.
No problem in that.
Yeah, so but we're still in it. So, you know, it is the Cup. Anything can happen. And other lesser teams have made it through than us at this stage. Maybe it is our time. But everything that I see in Newcastle at the minute on the pitch points to us not progressing. I'm really worried about the game, but you never know. It would be just the maddest thing, wouldn't it, though, if we were.
Well, this is why I asked. Yeah.
And that's why we're booking. That's why everyone wants a ticket. It's going to be fantastic atmosphere. And, you know, if we do go through, the tie has to be settled on the night.
Yeah.
If we do go through, all of a sudden there's a bit of momentum and a bit of positivity coming back into the club, which I always believe, a firm believer in this, it boosts your league form. Luke said there, probably need 2 wins and we're safe. If we put a strong team out in the FA Cup and we go through, it could be worth 3 points the next week in the league. And then if you can get some safety and go into a quarter final, that's what we're desperate to see. But there's just, anything can happen now, so it's a long way off. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but looking forward to the game massively.
Yeah, 2 questions then, really. You spoke about we need those 2 wins, and you spoke about how important, you know, that cup result could be, because it could be the catalyst to spark them into life and transfer that form over into the league. Do you really believe that's what that West Brom result could do? And secondly, Luke mentioned two wins. You spoke about them there as well. A lot of the other fans and the teams that are in and around that relegation zone, that you always hear this 40-point mark catch. My thinking is, and a lot of other fans thinking, that maybe it won't even be 40 points this year because the standard is so low at the bottom. Teams like Villa, Bournemouth, Brighton, West Ham, they can't even buy a win themselves at the minute. Do you think that maybe 40 points is more than is needed this season?
Well, I hope so. I absolutely hope so. And yeah, you could be right. There's not a lot of quality down there. And I just worry that we got to this, you know, the lofty mid-table position that we weren't supposed to be at. At the start of January, and I just wonder if they took their foot off the gas. And I do think putting three...
Coasted a bit.
Yeah, I do think that putting three players, lone players, into the team that aren't match fit and taking out your grinders like, you know, the Haydens and Richies, taking them out, I just think that makes a huge difference. And I'd like to see them both play in this FA Cup game because they get it. They've been at the club for, you know, 4 or 5 years each. And when we play... And when they're on form, we're better. And Richie, especially when he comes off the bench, he's like a little terrier, and he's too urgent, and he gives away silly free kicks. He's not as effective from the bench as he is starting. So, and there's not really a place for him in the team at the minute if you're going to start Danny Rose. So I think it's a game for Richie, it's a game for Hayden, and you know, let's just try and get through by any means possible.
Well, by any means possible, Ketch, you're going. You're one of the 5,500. It will be some Geordie turnout. They are hoping for a result that gets them into the quarterfinal. It is the fifth round of the FA Cup against West Brom. But you know I'm going to do it. You know I'm going to ask. Score prediction, Ketch.
For the FA Cup?
Yeah.
I just think it's all set up for it to go badly. The way things are at the minute, it's hard not to be gloomy. There's nothing to be positive about at the minute. I'm really disappointed, but I hope I'm wrong. But even if West Brom play a weakened team, I just worry about us.
But we could be talking about it. I mean, we're going to look at the Burnley game next, but who knows? Newcastle may be travelling to this West Brom game on the back of a positive result against Burnley.
Well, that would be...
And that could change it.
I think we need to get through the Burnley game, get a positive result, not lose the Burnley game, and probably take a draw against Burnley, and then not get injuries, and then just give it everything in the FA Cup. Honestly, it's the biggest game of the season for the fans. We have to give it everything we've got. We're this close to an FA Cup quarter-final, and we've had nothing like any success like this in the last... since Mike Ashley's been at the club, so we're desperate to go through.
Yeah, absolutely massive, monumental, that FA Cup tie, Newcastle against West Brom. But it is Burnley on the weekend, and to talk a little bit more about that and to get the opposition perspective, Dan Black from the Burnley Express is joining us to give us his take on the game on the weekend.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, aka Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine. So much we've been talking about. Obviously, the Palace game on the weekend. We had Luke Edwards joining us, and we were talking a little bit about the West Brom game, which, as Ketch said, it is the big one. It's the one that every Newcastle fan, every Geordie, all on the Toonami, they are watching it next week because they want this one, a chance to get to the quarterfinals. As Ketch said, you know, if they can get to a semi-final, you know, get 50,000 Newcastle fans at Wembley, what a day that would be for them. That's all they want, and it's all that they deserve. But we are talking about the Burnley game because that comes first. That is on the weekend. They face a very informed Burnley team at the minute, and the man to tell us all about it is Dan Black from the Burnley Express. Dan, always good to get you on and get your insight. Really enjoy speaking to you. Really contrasting form for these two sides. Newcastle, 1 win in 9, and Burnley at the minute, 13 points out of the last 15, and they are the team that's not only on the up, but looking up rather than down.
Absolutely flying, mate, at the minute, yeah. It's been a very enjoyable turnaround, I'll tell you that much. Obviously, they were part of the conversation surrounding relegation not so long ago, probably mid-January. They were well involved in that rhetoric. And then, like you mentioned, 13 points in 5 games has swung it completely on its head. And now they're being talked about for a European spot.
Dan, it's Ketch here. And I said at the start of the show, when Newcastle played Palace on Saturday, and I said that's a last on match of the day game, if ever there was one. I'm putting this one down as last on match of the day as well. I don't think it's going to be pretty. Newcastle, the thing we've been speaking about in our season is the absolute lack of possession. I think Newcastle have the lowest possession in Europe, 35% possession.
Right?
The one game where we had more possession was away at Burnley, and we lost the game. So can we give you all the possession in this game? And because I think that would suit us. And it would be unusual for an away team to do that, but a Burnley similar, do you not like to have the ball? Do you operate better with it?
Yeah, I think history, well, recent history certainly will tell you that Burnley get better results when they don't have the bulk of possession. You know, when they let the opposition have the ball and the closing and the biting and the snapping at ankles and stuff and they winning the ball high up the pitch, that's when Burnley are at the best. I think if I'm right in saying when we lost at St James's Park the other season, we'd had the most possession then as well, and we ended up getting beat that night. But yeah, you mentioned the game at Turf Moor. I mean, that was a horrible one, wasn't it? It was a shocker, that one. The weather was awful, and I don't think I had a shot on target that night, did you?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, but yeah, so
I'm not trying to rub it.
No, it's fair enough.
And I think that summed up the whole night. Really, we took at, you know, the limited chances that we had, and you struggled to test port, really. And,
yeah, Gale missed an absolute sitter towards the end, but. You were in such a bad place round about at the start of the year. We're in a similar place now. What happened? How did you turn it round? Because the form recently has come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a funny one. We were talking to Sean Dyche about it in the recent press conference, and he just simply said it's a change of mentality. They're going into games with a stronger mentality. You know, they've been here for a while now. You know, they're in the fourth successive season in the Premier League, so they know what it's about. They know what they need to do to turn it around when they are hitting a bit of a blip. And he just said there were times where they were waiting for the game to come to them, and they kind of had to take the ball by the horns and attack teams. And they've certainly been doing that in recent weeks, and it's really starting to show. You know, they've changed things up a little bit. You know, it's been enforced through a few injuries, but it seems to have freshened things up a bit. You know, the Vidra and Rodriguez partnership up front has worked wonders in the last game and three quarters or whatever how long it's been, and yeah, I mean because that's something I was looking at with Newcastle. I mean, it looks as though Bruce is quite keen on sticking with this, with the same formula, the same players, the same system, and I, that's what I was going to ask you: is it the system that's not working? Is it the players that aren't in the system that aren't working? Is it a combination of the two?
I think we're going to change. I think I can see us changing our system. He's gone with. Basically, it's a 3-4-2-1, and I can see him going 4-2-3-1. I'm giving you all our secrets away now, but it got. I said it in the show earlier on. It's so bad that it would be a risk to persevere with our system at the minute. Joe Linton isn't you know, a natural finisher. We've got someone, Dwight Gale, who is more of a natural finisher. I think put him up front and maybe play Joe Linton out wide, and see if that works. Because I think one of the reasons we didn't sign a striker in January was because Steve Bruce felt that Gale would come back from his injury, and now he's available. Let's put him in there. So I think at home we've got to take this game to you if we want to get anything from it. And I think there could be a change in system.
Dan, I was talking. Sorry, go on, Dan.
I was just going to say I was looking at the records, and we haven't won there since April 1976.
Yeah,
the Romans aren't great for us, but.
Well, I'm pretty gutted because that was actually the stat that I was going to bring up. I said to Ketch, I got a few stats. No, but why I wanted to speak about that, Dan, because we spoke to your colleague, Chris Bowden, from the Burnley Express, and he said that Sean Dyche is a little bit of a... He likes to sort of ruin the sort of records and stats record, and he's a good omen for Burnley when it comes to this. But you haven't won at Newcastle. Since then, you mentioned 1976. Why is that? And looking at the actual stats, I don't know if you two know, but in the head-to-head record, it is Burnley with 43 wins, Newcastle with 42 wins and 20 draws. It is that close between the two, but Burnley have none of that luck coming when they travel to Newcastle.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think you just get, sometimes you get these teams or managers or stadiums that, you know, you seem to struggle at. I don't know what it is, whether it's a mental thing, you know, psychological type thing, I'm not too sure. But as you mentioned, you know, there've been so many times where we've had a hoodoo hanging over our heads going into certain games, and if anyone's going to smash it out of the park and catapult it into oblivion, it's going to be Sean Dyche, because he's got a grand record of doing that.
This is a local derby for us as well, because Middlesbrough and Sunderland can't get themselves into the Premier League, so just to add a bit more spice to it, this is a local derby. So there's a lot on the line. I do think it'll be low down the running order in match of the day, but there's a lot on the line for us. We desperately need a win, to be honest.
And I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah, I think both teams will play it very tight. It'll be a goal either way, I think.
Yeah, because Newcastle had a little spurt in form. Now Burnley have that at the minute. And with Man City's European woes up in the air, they could be facing a ban. There's another available European spot. Could Burnley challenge for this? And how far up are they looking?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously no reason why they can't go for that again. Now, we've spoken to a few players in recent weeks, and it's become a reality now, and they're all saying that they love that first experience of it, and they'd like to experience it again. They're 2 points off eighth, which could potentially be a Europa League spot, and they've got Wolves to come at home, they've got Sheffield United to come at home, they've got Spurs to come at home. So if you win those games and beat the teams in and around you and the teams below you, then you've got every chance of sneaking in there. Yeah, you've got every chance.
Yeah, well, Dan, what is your score prediction then for the weekend?
Well, Newcastle aren't scoring many and we're not conceding many. So, as I mentioned, I think it's going to be a very, very tight one. If I had to, I'd probably stick my neck out and say 1-0 Burnley.
1-0 Burnley, yeah. Kesh is kind of nodding in agreement, Dan. He's not making you out on that one. Dan, always good to be joined by you, Dan Black there from the Burnley Express, telling us and giving us the Burnley perspective. He was saying 1-0 to Burnley, but he was also agreeing with your assessment, Kesh. Maybe low, Dan, on the match of the day pecking order.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, and I think it'll be cagey. I think both teams, especially Newcastle, there's now a fear of, you know, losing a game but heavily, or you know, they're just desperate for a win, and there's pressure now at Newcastle. And I think Burnley would probably take a draw to keep their run going. They're on such great form, a point away from home in the Premier League, never to be sniffed at, and they're up at the right end of the table, whereas Newcastle really have to perform. They have to take the game to Burnley. We can't have another performance like we've churned out, like for example against at home in Norwich, which I think was our last home game. It was a dreadful performance in Norwich. We allowed them to come and dictate and attack, and they probably deserve to win that game. That's a team at the bottom of the league. We can't allow that to happen. We need to get on the front foot. That's a soundbite that Steve Bruce came out with at the start of the season. I'm going to get this team playing on the front foot. We haven't seen any of that at all. We need to sacrifice a bit in defence to give some more support to our forward line, because they're getting the ball. None of them are capable of holding it up, and our midfield is nowhere near them. We need to get bodies in and around Joe Linton, Saint-Maximin, Almiron, let them run with the ball, let them attack. And I think bring Gale in, and if there's a chance, he'll finish it. He's a good finisher.
Well, you said, Kesh, that obviously Newcastle maybe need a change in formation, just something to spark them and get them going. But we also spoke on this show that you feel that Steve Bruce is a good man manager, you know, arm around the shoulder. The players actually quite like working with him. You know, that's something, if there was a positive, you would give to him. When are we going to see that maybe transfer onto the pitch and just say to the players, look, we need something, lads, an extra 20, 30% just to get us going, because soon one win in 9 could become one win in 10, and then we're talking one win in 12, and that is slowly and quickly how it can all slide away.
Well, this is where he earns his crust, isn't it? Can he get through with these players? Can he motivate them? I think he's lost patience a bit with Joe Linton, so he needs to find something. He needs to find another system that suits Joe Linton. And I think what we're seeing is a player who feels safer out wide. So he needs to find a way to get Gale, who's a striker, into the team and get Joe Linton out wide. And I do think 4-2-3-1 is the answer. I hope he's listening. I hope he's going to go with the system.
Listening.
Steve, listen to me. Have a go. And I just want to see a bit more positivity and a bit more. Give the fans something to shout about. We've got these two fantastically exciting players, Almiron and Saint-Maximin. Let's support them, get the ball, but they get the ball in front of them, get them running in behind defences, putting on chances for the likes of Saint-Maximin, Joe Linton and Gale.
And before long, because you're saying that you feel that Newcastle could be brought into that relegation fight, when do they need... I know they need to start picking up points now, but when does your worry turn from slight concern into deep, deep worry?
Every week you don't pick up points, it's a concern. But there's now this six-game league period where we've beaten four of the next six teams we play, so that we have to pick up points. And some of the games are at home. Got Aston Villa at home, huge game. Sheffield United at home, which is going to be a difficult game, but we did beat them away. We've got to go for it, because you know we can't just defend and counter attack, because we're going to slip into the relegation battle. And you would worry with the form we're in at the minute that we would not come out of that well.
Yeah, not come out with that well, will it? It's two massive games for Newcastle. Obviously, Burnley on the weekend. We know of that one, and we know of Burnley's record at Newcastle. Not winning since 1976. Can you believe it? Will they get that one? Sean Dyche, he knows how to end a hoodoo. Will Newcastle? We're hoping he certainly does not. And then it is the game with West Brom. That is the one our eyes are on next week in the FA Cup. Can the Magpies reach the quarterfinal? Either way, we will be here whether they win, lose or draw, whether they go through or they don't. Me and Matt Ketchell will be there to put it all right. The inquest, as it always is, starts here on Love Sport Radio on the Newcastle Fan Show every Wednesday, 7 to 8. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.